Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
And this is episode 54, and it is the Nerdy Chicano here to host the show alongside my wonderful co-host, Brad, who's here because, well, he's here. He has to be here.
Because I have nothing better to do.
Yeah, tell me what you'd be like to be doing on a Wednesday night, Brad.
Podcasting,
that's for sure, man.
The dream role. Living the motherfucking dream.
Yeah, man.
If only you paid me. Maybe one day.
If I got paid, dude, that'd be nice
too,
right?
Paid, yeah, maybe one day. That's the only thing we haven't figured out quite yet is how to, like, completely monetize this. But other than that, I'm happy doing what I'm doing.
It's fun. It's a fun time, right?
It's a fun time. That's why I can do this without getting paid.
That's right. And it's also really easy.
I mean, yeah, we don't edit shit. So it's like, yeah, just throw it up there. People listen.
People
hope
listen.
You guys like it.
Yeah. I get you, man. I get you. Well, look, it's been a pretty good time here, man. And, you know, it's time to get into, like, the cool stuff, but first of all, we gotta check up with you. Well, what you been doing, Brad?
I've been trying to get over... I had to go to the doctor's yesterday.
Really?
My allergies totally tried to fuck me up, so I had to go get a shot for that.
Oh, good lord. Did they put it in your butt?
Yeah, right in the right butt cheek.
Jesus, man. Oh, that hairy ass of yours, right?
Ooh, what? I don't have that hairy of an ass. Damn. Yeah,
that's what happens when Ashley leaves the show to us, too.
Hairy asses,
yeah. Look, man, looks like you were sick, weren't you? But it's all good. Ashley isn't here. Ashley isn't here because of, traffic and stuff like that. So, you know, it sucks, but oh well. We're here to hold a fort for her while she's gone. And, it's going to be the Nerdcore Hairy Ass Hour.
What are you typing?
I'm not typing anything. I'm moving this thing on my... my cable's all fucked up on my.
You sound like you were clicking a bunch of shit. What the fuck
no,
are you doing?
No, it's this thing, the cord. So, my clamp, my boom arm.
Clamp.
Well, my
you're gonna get clamped.
My mic arm, it holds my mic at a really good position so I can talk without having to hold it and stuff. You know, I positioned the microphone at a good place where I can read and talk, but I didn't notice that my cord's all tangled up and I can actually put it in the right way so that way it's not in my way. And I have it with these things where I wrap it around the arm thing, and it just every time I put it all the way up, it does that noise. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like you're on a roller coaster.
Yeah, well, the solution is for me to just take off my cord right now, but I'm not going to do that. That would mute me.
Leave your cord on.
Yeah, that would mute me. But look, yeah, I'm not going to do that because that's kind of dumb because then you won't be able to hear me. And then Brad's not going to host this show.
Nah, I just leave.
Fuck you, Brad. All right, Brad. So let's go ahead and get into it. What have you been playing this week, Brad?
Spider-Man. Does whatever a spider pig does.
It's been pretty fun, hasn't it?
It's been. I beat the main storyline. I actually got to the main storyline.
That ending was so sad, man.
Oh my god! Can we do spoilers on it?
Spoilers are up. Spoilers for Spider-Man 2018 is up. If you guys haven't played Spider-Man, you might want to get a little bit of don't want to be listening to us right now.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Aunt May fucking dies. What the fuck, Insomniac? Breaking my heart. Fucking heart. And not only that, Peter Parker has to choose between Aunt May and saving the lives of, like, thousands to millions of New Yorkers. So, come on, Insomniac. You couldn't let the man have, like, some sort of family?
Is this
a Disney movie?
He's already has to fight his worst villain, which is having to pay rent.
rent's shitty. I mean, and he doesn't really have a job.
Yeah.
He basically helps his aunt out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a sad time for Spider-Man. Like, yeah. Like you'd think, like, I mean, he could have got a deal there for having, like, Spider, you know, for selling his visual, I guess. Could have had, like, Spider-Man collectibles and dolls and shit.
Yeah, man. Right. Yeah. I know what you're talking about, man. I fully agree with you, man. But look, yeah, that ending is tough. I mean, incredible voice acting, by the way.
The whole Dr. Octopus, Doc Ock, that whole, and it's shitty. And I don't know. I think Insomniac or whoever wrote this video game, they need to get on to Sony's payroll to write the next Spider-Man. Because the whole game was terrifically written. And just that Dr. Octopus, where he starts out as, you know, Peter Parker's hero. I mean, Peter Parker works kind of not getting paid enough for what he knows, but mm-hmm. to do something that he really believes in, and he believes in Doc Ock. And in the end, Doc Ock fails him.
Yeah. Like,
because Doc wants to basically to destroy Norman Osborn, who he sees as the enemy, when in reality, it's always been Doc Ock who's always been in his own way, because he wanted to rush things, and he's always had this jealousy when, you know, he could have probably worked with Norman, I'm sure. And as Norman said, you know, Doc Ock was the best when he was working for him.
Yeah. It's a really well-written game. I think that it's the voice acting that's done for Peter is incredible as well. I really, really like this game. Is so good, man. I'm happy that you finally finished it. Did you get the chance to buy the DLC, by the way?
No, I have not bought the DLC. They had it. They have it for sale, not like on sale, but you can buy them online. But they're like 20-something bucks. I'm just like, man, I'm going to wait till they like five.
Fucking asshole, Brad.
Dude, it's either food or games.
Well, you know, it's either food or saving the city of New York, and Spider-Man has to choose that every freaking day, okay?
You know, when I was swinging through areas, though, and you get the fucking alert icon popping up all the time, there's a point when you're going, man, I just want to find this backpack. Why you fucking criminals got to be criminalizing?
You're like, why can't New York just save itself?
Exactly. Why do you have police?
Oh, man. But look, I'm really happy that you played the game and that you finished it, because it's such a good game, dude.
It's so well written. I mean, the villains are terrific. I really like the look of all the villains. Like, mm-hmm. they've been upgraded, like Rhino in a way. I remember Rhino from the cartoon. So, you know, he's basically in that, what the fuck is that Jim Carrey movie with the rhino? And he comes out the rhino's butt. Ace Ventura. So so Rhino in the cartoon is basically the Ace Ventura rhino suit, basically, in the cartoon. And this one, they upgraded him to be like this fucking giant mech. And, I mean, it's pretty cool.
Oh, that's funny, dude.
Man, now you're just thinking Spider-Man going through Rhino's butt.
Yeah, now I'm just thinking about that, dude. But look, I gotta hand it to them, man. Insomniac has really made an incredible game, and I think that it's it really shows, man. It really shows, and I'm really happy.
Now they need to get back on Resistance, because I want Resistance 4. Damn it, Insomniac.
Damn it, Insomniac. You just made me finish crying. And now now you're looking forward to a Resistance 4.
Give me Resistance 4. Yeah. And whoever made Warhawk.
Yeah.
Remaster Warhawk for PS4, PS5. So me and Raul can team kill each other.
All right. Well, on my end, I played this whole weekend the Call of Duty 2v2 Alpha for Modern Warfare. And man, was that the most fun I've had with a Call of Duty in a very long time, dude.
That's great. You got to play the 35 gigabyte fucking download while I was stuck in fucking hot ass Phoenix all weekend.
Hey, Brad, I'm not the one who has to go to Phoenix, man. So don't blame it on me. Look, I got to say, there's some things that were kind of bothering me, but it's Alpha, dude. I understand now. But, you know, I'm really, really excited for this game to come out in, you know, in a couple of, I think it's November. or I can't remember too
October.
Long.
Actually, it's October.
It's 27th. October?
Yeah, all it's right. October like 27th because I pre-ordered it.
Yeah, I should probably pre-order, but you know, I'm really, really, really excited for this game. I think that it's going to be so much fun. This is going to be one of our favorites to stream, honestly, by how I was playing that game, how much fun I was having with Bryce. I think this is going to be one of the games that we're definitely going to be streaming a lot.
This and Minecraft, I think, because those two games we got. I mean, and I'm not planning on getting Shadowkeep. Destiny Shadowkeep. Until a few months down the road, so.
Yeah, I'm just waiting to get some more. I'm waiting to see some videos on that and see how it goes down before I actually buy it.
I like to see what changes they're making because, honestly, I don't mind grinding a game, but not if it's, like, stupid grind.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Brad. I agree with you. But it's we're going to have to wait and see how that goes. But, honestly, man, this 2v2, so much fun. So much fun, and I can't wait for it to come out. Let's go ahead and get into some, what's it called, stuff to do before the news. There's no sales or anything, but there is a game that's coming out for, there's the PS Plus free game for September that was just announced. So I'm going to let you guys know what it is. And on September 3rd, you're going to get, you can get Batman Arkham Knight and Darksiders 3 will be available to download for free from the PlayStation Store. They'll be free to claim until, you know, September 30th. And Batman Arkham Knight is a conclusion to the whole Arkham trilogy. Was Origins done by Rocksteady?
I have no idea.
I do not remember either. But I love Origins just because it has, like, what's it called? That one fight scene with Deathstroke and Batman. It's just so amazing. I still never finished Origins, but let me check. I'm checking here. Sorry, guys. I don't know if this was Rocksteady because it never gets included in the whole, what's it called, the whole thing. Oh no, this was not Rocksteady. This was WB Games Montreal. This was not Rocksteady. Which is why it possibly never got a PlayStation 4 or Xbox One port, because it wasn't from Rocksteady. It's based on DC Comics. It is the successor to the 2011 Batman Arkham City. It was the third main installment in the Batman Arkham. Okay, but what's it called? Rocksteady was the developers for the other Arkham games. Okay, yeah. All right. Well, yeah, so you guys
I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah, right? Look, you guys can get Arkham Knight and the other game, Darksiders 3. I've never played Darksiders 3. Actually, never played a Darksiders in general. So you guys can go get that stuff on September 3rd, and they will be gone after September 30th. But I hope you guys go pick them up. Like I said, there's no sales, so we're just going to go straight into the news here, Brad, from GameSpot.com. This is big news. It just broke today. It just broke today.
Telltale's back.
Huh? Telltale's
back.
Kind of,
sort
of. Yeah.
In a way.
Richard Wakeling? Richard Wakeling from GameSpot.com.
What did you say? Wakeling?
Yeah. Fuck you, Brad. I'm sorry. Shut up, Brad.
Okay. Sorry.
All right. So from what was it again? Wakeling?
Yes, Wakeling.
All right. Telltale Games creators and of the episodic Wakeling.
Wait. His name's Richard Wakeling.
Okay,
you know,
Brad.
You know what that means, Ro?
What?
His nickname's Dick Wakeling.
I don't get it, Brad. Creators of its episodic The Walking Dead, Batman, and Game of Thrones games shut down last year after a tumultuous timeline of events, but a company called LCG Entertainment is bringing this beloved studio name back from the dead. The new company plans to sell some of Telltale's back catalog and will work on new games based on Telltale-associated properties and new licenses. Jamie Otiel and Brian Waddle are heading up the new Telltale. Jamie has spent much of his career in mobile games and was previously the founder and CEO of Galaxy Pest Control, a studio known for its work on licensed games such as Duck Dynasty, Power Rangers Legends, and Hotel Transylvania 2. Waddle, meanwhile, ran sales and marketing for the Havoc game engine at Intel and later Microsoft. In an interview with Polygon, Otiel said that some workers from the original Telltale games will be offered freelance roles at the new Telltale, with full title positions possible in the future, so this is very much Telltale in name only at this point. He also confirmed that the new company will still has catalog rights, back catalog rights, to license properties like The Wolf Among Us and Batman, as well as full rights to original Telltale games such as Puzzle Agent. Before Telltale closed its door last year, the company was working on a sequel to The Wolf Among Us with an announcement in 2017 and a planned release window sometime in 2018. Obviously, that never happened, but Otiel says it's possible that new Telltale will pick up some stories where they left off. We're still evaluating, but we definitely want to continue some of the stories, he said. Whether The Wolf Among Us 2 is part of that equation. Jesus Christ, Brad, what are you doing?
It's been a thunderstorm.
Oh, that's what there's a thunderstorm?
There's a thunderstorm.
Jesus. Wolf Among Us 2 is part of that equation. This is what happens when Ashley's not here. I get distracted by these stupid noises. Remains to be seen, and is not likely to resemble the game the original team was working on. What we do know, however, is that The Walking Dead won't be coming back. The license is now owned by Skybound, the company that finished development on the last two episodes of The Walking Dead's final season after Telltale shuttered. So they also... I just got a message from somebody. I don't know. Whatever. Look, Brad, this is a... They didn't shine light on whether Borderlands... on the licenses like Borderlands, Minecraft, and Guardians of the Galaxy, but did say they have the rights for the Stranger Things games Telltale had announced have now gone back to Netflix. So, with that being said, Brad, what are your thoughts on Telltale coming back?
Say that Telltale is coming back. It just says somebody bought basically kind of the name, and they want to bring Telltale back, but they don't. Doesn't sound like they have the. I don't think the monetary to fully bring them back. Like they have the ability to bring back some of the creators freelance right now, maybe with full-time positions in the future. But right now, this does not sound like Telltale's quite back yet. It's like you said, it's kind of back. I mean, it has a possibility of coming back, but right now it doesn't seem like anything's quite in the works yet.
Yeah, it does sound like that. I believe we're about to have an appearance by Ashley. So, what's it called?
See, that's what the thunder was bringing in.
It was the thunder. The god of thunder is Ashley, not Thor. Thunder. All right. Well, look. Shut the fuck up, Brad. I'm trying to talk here. I think it's good that Telltale's coming back in a way, but you know, as much as they're going to try, they're never going to get the actual original way that Telltale used to make these games, man. It's going to be something new.
Not unless they get all the creators back. And yeah. It just, to me, doesn't sound they monetarily are quite there yet.
Yeah, so, you know, it's nice that they can, you know, come back with the name and try to do something with it. But, you know, this is not the original. This is not the Telltale we knew. So... You know, and I hope that people don't expect it to be, you know?
And you know, that's the thing, though, is if you use the name, people are going to expect that. So.
Yeah, which sucks,
They got a few hurdles to jump over.
Yeah, but, you know, people really... So. I hope they do get a Wolf Among Us, too, because people really like the first Wolf Among Us. I never played it, but I know that it was a big title for people. And this is just, you know, this is the way that you kind of, you know... don't entirely bring back the studio, but keep the memory alive for the fans. The fans' sake, at least.
It's not quite dead yet.
Not quite dead yet. And I think that's a good thing, man. You know, we can never have the way that Telltale was, but if we can continue, you know, celebrating the legacy by continuing some of these games, I think that's kind of what people were looking for. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know if Ashley will, you know, butt in anytime soon. I hope she does. But I guess we got to go into the next one, right? Unless you don't have anything else to say about this?
No, nah, I think we said everything we can say.
What about the Thunder?
Yeah, Telltale kind of back, sort of. Nah, maybe.
What about the Thunderstorm? What is that?
Nah. Yeah, it's still here.
Yeah, it was raining really bad here, too.
So if I cut out, just realize either I got struck by lightning or my power went out.
Jesus Christ, friend. In that case, I hope I don't have to do this episode alone. Now,
I ain't dead yet.
In some other news that will definitely piss us off because we're not able to see this footage, it is from Jeremy Winslow over at GameSpot.com. New Last of Us Part 2 footage shown before PAX West, but you can't see it yet. Clickers
AKA,
can...
AKA, why won't anyone invite us to anything?
More like, why won't anybody accept us to anything?
Let us come to things and see things.
We won't tell anyone.
Maybe when we hit our 5-year. Maybe then people will take us seriously as serious reporters on the maybe not.
Maybe not. What are your thoughts on the new The Last of Us 2 game? Oh, I think it looks pretty good, but I don't know about that yet.
I like it.
I like it a lot.
There's nice things going on. I like it.
Now back to Ashley and news at 5. All right, clickers can be used to your advantage in The Last of Us Part 2. Just before PAX West kicks off this Friday, lucky attendees of the GameStop Managers Conference got a glimpse of some new The Last of Us Part 2 footage on PS4. Oh, so you have to be a manager at GameStop?
Apparently for GameStop, so you have... Wow, yeah, they deserve to go places, I guess.
Yeah, well...
They're working for GameStop.
It must suck to be in that point in your life where you're a manager at GameStop right now.
But, I mean, that PAX West has to be the highlight just of that job.
Pretty much. The footage supposedly releasing sometime soon was very short, but a great vertical slice of gameplay, according to Twitter user Gaming Forte. Does that... Gaming Forte can go, but we can't? The same user tweeted a picture of the event and later said... The bit of footage that they saw was centered around stealth and how you can use clickers to your advantage. It's unclear how soon this new gameplay video will be made public. An event on September 26th called Outbreak Day could be when the video is released, as it serves as an anniversary for The Last of Us universe, but developer Naughty Dog and Sony have yet to confirm anything official. No, The Last of Us Part 2 news came out on E3 2019 since Sony skipped the event. Yeah, we know that. Oh, why did I just do that? No.
So I just follow Gaming Forte.
Thanks, man.
He now has 693 followers.
Gaming Forte could go, but not us, right?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't invite us to anything either, personally. He's just asking for us to ruin shit.
Yeah, I know. So while director Neil Druckmann left fans with some jokes, no definitive release date or window for The Last of Us 2 has been announced. Which is good because there's been a couple of rumors I saw. There was like somebody put on a Reddit that apparently The Last of Us Part 2 was going to launch with the PS5, which I think is a lot of bullshit. I think that they would not be showing so much for this game if it was for the PS5.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
I mean, they would... They pull a Final Fantasy and just kind of throw teasers out there until like 10 years later and then release it on the PS6.
Damn you, Brad. Yeah.
You know I gotta dig at Square Enix. It's my favorite pastime. Other than talking shit with you about Venom.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, buddy. I know. But look, man, yeah, I heavily doubt the whole PS5 thing. I think that's just not true at all. But
now that's not saying they're gonna release it on PS4 and then also have it released on PS5 if PS5 comes on right after. That could happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like always, you guys should always just take what we say with a grain of salt. But I highly doubt Last of Us Part 2 will come out for the PS5. But look, I'm glad that they showed the GameStop managers some footage they won't show us. You know, it's a...
Well, those managers deserve it for having to work at GameStop.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, look who's here.
Can I get a hell
look who's
yeah?
showed up. Even without a mic check. Mic check, Ashley. Mic check.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, brother.
All right. With news with Ashley at 6 o'clock, can you tell us what you think about Last of Us Part 2 footage that was not shown to us?
She interviews Ninja at 9, but with his wife present.
Well, it's 7:33 right now, so I don't know. Man, I remember when I was working at GameStop, we got some cool footage of, I think it was Black Ops 3 before it came out.
Yeah.
That was really neat. Sometimes you get thrown really cool opportunities like that, and it still wasn't worth me working at GameStop.
I took my iced tea.
Oh my god.
They gave me a free PS4, man. That was kind of worth it.
That was kind of worth it, right?
Kind of.
I want this game to come out.
Not entirely, my friend. Ashley, since you just popped in, what have you been playing as of late?
I played a little bit more of Judgment.
Mm-hmm.
That's been really fun. I don't really have much else to say about that because I haven't gone into the actual story that deep. I'm just having way too much fun running around Tokyo, getting into fights.
Sweet.
But I am playing Dragalia, and I've been making a lot of progress on that game. I've been trying to get my teams to a minimum of 20k in might. Mm-hmm. Usually your good players are at about 22 to 24k.
Mm-hmm.
That good, but yeah, it's been fun.
All right.
Y'all been playing? Dude, I totally missed that. Anything cool?
Brad finished Spider-Man, and I played the 2v2 alpha for Modern Warfare, which was a lot of fun. And a lot of Minecraft as well. I started building my house next to Brad's house in Minecraft.
I haven't been in Minecraft yet to see that. But if I go in there and it's just like just wooden blocks connected to my like underground, like my it's basically, it starts out as a grotto and then goes into the mountain. So if it's just like a little fucking shack hooked up, I'm breaking that shit.
I want to get this game now so I can troll you.
I will light your house on fire.
No, Brad. I'm basically creating the Aztec temples for my house. Okay, I'm not making a house literally next to yours. We're neighbors. We're not like neighbors that are having like a centimeter of proximity to each other. Okay, calm down.
All right, but if there ain't like hot vampires from Dusk Till Dawn on your house, we're gonna have words.
All right, whatever, Brad. But Ashley's here, so it's pretty cool because we get to go into the next piece of news. And this is funny because Ubisoft should not be the one saying whose business model is unrealistic. Because, Ubisoft.
That's in pandas.
That's why we don't get invited to things, Brad. We're just really blunt about a lot of things that go on in the industry.
Quite rude.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie.
That's why we don't get invited to things, man.
That's okay. One day someone will invite us to something and they will regret it immediately.
Yeah.
I'm about to get myself banned too. This is the best intro to an article ever.
So Steam's from GameSpot.com, of course, from Eddie McCooch, our favorite journalist.
McCooch! Why won't you love me?
Steam's business model is quote unquote unrealistic, Ubisoft executive says. It doesn't reflect where the world is today in terms of game distribution. Ubisoft executives Chris Early, who's the VP for partnerships and revenue at the Assassin's Creed company, has spoken up to share his thoughts on Steam. Speaking on the New York Times, Early said the company's business model as it stands today is unworkable. It's unrealistic, the current business model they have. It doesn't reflect where the world is today in the terms of game distribution, he said. It's not completely clear what part of Steam's business model Early is speaking about. Maybe in reference to the revenue split that Steam offers. Steam typically keeps 30% of game sales, with 70% going to developers, publishers. By contrast, the Epic Game Store offers much more to the people who make games. On the Epic's Game Store, 88% of revenue goes back to developers. Holy shit. Given Early's comments, it's not hard to understand why Ubisoft elected to release The Division 2, one of the company's biggest games of 2019, on the Epic Game Store instead of Steam. The Division 2 was also released on Ubisoft's own Uplay Store, and sales of the game grew 10 times after the decision to bypass Steam. It's not clear if Ubisoft will have a strict no Steam policy with its future releases. One of the company's major upcoming game, Ghost Recon Breakpoint, will also not be sold on Steam. Yeah. So I'd like to think that we're both we're two people who, you know, basically grew up with the legacy of Steam in the beginning, you know, when the whole PC gaming thing was like, my brother bought so much stuff on Steam and stuff like that. But do you guys agree with Early saying that the business model is, you know, kind of outdated now? The whole idea of like keeping so much money and not giving the developers and publishers the amount they, you know, they deserve.
Well, I mean, that's just capitalism for you right there. If you're taking 30% of game sales, and then somebody over there is now giving way or is giving 88% of the revenue back to the developers versus your 70%, of course the developers are going to go the one that gives them 88% back. Like, that's just how money works.
Business.
I mean, if Apple came to us and they're like, you know what, guys? We are going to double or triple what Anchor gives you. You know, we would have to think really hard on that because Anchor is a great platform. Yeah. But we would be really thinking really hard on that. Be like, well, you know, Anchor gives us this much. Apple gives us this much. What if we just talk on Apple? It's kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. Or like, what if they said like, oh, you guys can be on Anchor, but your show can only distribute out of that exclusively on Apple or something. Like, it's an Apple original or something like, you know, yes, it's business. And sadly, this is what happens in business. And, but yes, I kind of do agree, dude. Like, you know, Epic is where it's at right now. And I think that it's going to keep being where it's at because they have a better, you know, attempt at this.
Epic's just smart in that they created one of the best-selling games of all time. So they got money in the bank. They could give a shit less. And they're just reaping more reward now because they opened a store. And, you know, that money they're making from the developers is probably a lot of money. But compared to what they're making from Fortnite, probably a drop in the bucket. So Epic's probably just like, yeah, we got cash.
Might as well spend it.
Now I'm not so surprised about Shenmue 3 going to the Epic Games Store. It makes sense. They're getting way more money.
Oh, hell yeah. And especially because they did a Kickstarter for that one. So, like, all the money they wouldn't get back from the Kickstarter that they had to fund for that game, of course they're going to want to get it back from the Epic Games Store. It makes a total amount of sense now.
Yeah. I mean, 70 versus 80%. And I'd want the 88%.
Oh, damn straight. I would too, man.
It's especially just like, if I put in all that hard work, time, and my own money. Like, I want to get the most bang I get buck as quickly as possible to make back what I spent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It happens. Yeah. Ashley, any thoughts?
Nah, just the Shenmue comment.
Yeah.
I remember a lot of people raging about that, and I was kind of confused too. Like, what the hell? Why are they getting it? But yeah, now it makes sense. It
makes a shit ton of sense now. Yeah. I didn't know about the whole 70-30 thing, man. That's kind of like shitty, man.
Well, and you know, it was probably good back in the day when Steam first came out, you know, because you look at it, 70-30, they get to sell their games on this platform. They don't have to create their own platform.
Yeah. It was also the only platform.
But then when you get competition that comes in and goes, hey, everybody plays a game and we're going to make a store, and then you get to keep 18% more than what you do over there on Steam. Of course people are going to go to that store.
We've seen a shift in the music industry and a lot of industries with people taking more or less cutting the middleman out and taking more percentage for, you know, rightfully their art.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they're
part of a shift in the gaming industry.
Yeah, they're basically creating their own companies. That way they get far more of the revenue instead of going to a record company where basically they end up owing the record company.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the internet has opened up so much more avenues for people to get their stuff out there where they don't need a middleman.
Yeah,
look what they're doing to, like, you know, even like retailers like GameStop and Best Buy, even Amazon. They're starting to cut them out more so, and, you know, those cool pre-order bonuses or things that were worth, you know, getting the game early for is being released directly on, you know, websites and whatnot instead of being listed exclusively on GameStop or Amazon.
I still say GameStop's going to be dead in 5 years.
be a gaming lounge company at best.
Yeah, yeah. So that's that, man. It's kind of, you know, it's just, look, what's it called? I wouldn't say that it's unrealistic because it still exists and still a big part of the gaming industry, but I would say that it's unrealistic in the way that times are changing real fast, and I think that, you know, Steam will have to adapt one way or another.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So let's go into the last piece of news. This one's some pretty serious stuff here. You know, this is a... It was interesting because I ran into a tweet online that was actually Time's Up wants to, you know, extend their hands to the gaming industry to help, you know, what's it called, people who, what's it called, experience abuse in there, in the industry. And it was interesting. And then today, while I'm looking for the news, I run into this story right here. So let's go ahead and talk about this one from Steve Watts over at... over at GameSpot.com, if I could just move up. Okay, cool. Night in the Woods studio cuts ties with co-developer over abuse allegations. We take such allegations seriously as a team. Content warning, sexual assault. Following serious allegations leveled against Night in the Woods co-developer Alec Holoka, the indie studio Infinite Fall has cut ties and changed its release plans for a physical edition of the game in a series of tweets. Developers Scott Benson and Bethany Huckenberry say they take the allegations very seriously and that they share their fans' hurt and anger. On August 27, developer Zoe Quinn detailed sexual abuse and assault allegations against Holoka on Twitter. Though the response from Benson and Hockenberry does not mention Quinn, it does reference allegations of past abuse that have come to light this week. Quinn's statement came alongside a broad range of abuse accusations within the game industry. We take such allegations seriously as a team. As a result, and after some agonizing consideration, we are cutting ties with Alec, the studio stated. We are canceling a current project and postponing the limited run physical release. The iOS port is being handled by an outside company and supervised by Finji. It will remain in development. The studio goes on to address how people may feel about the game itself and that the shifted studio roles may impact their plans in other ways. The situation is in flux. Thousands of people have connected with Night in the Woods in a very personal way, it stated. We can't tell you how to feel about any of this. Whatever you're feeling is valid. Your experience with art is yours. What it means to you is yours, regardless of anything else. Going forward, Night in the Woods will be handled by Bethany and I. We're not sure what that all means yet. This stuff takes time. Thanks for your support over the years. We're sorry to even have to say any of this. That's all I can say at the moment. Thank you for your patience. What do we take about these things, guys? I'll go with Ashley first.
This is too common. I mean, yeah. I don't have any personal stories, but I've heard a lot of stories from people who are, you know, involved in a lot of industries, especially the gaming industry. I have a friend that used to write for Kotaku, and when the whole Gamergate thing, you know, was breaking loose, he had a lot of interesting information, and he was telling me about how he had friends that were getting harassed, internet trolls and whatnot. It's all just very terrible. And yeah. I think handled this very well. Even their press release, I thought it was very honest. And obviously it really sucks for them, you know.
Yeah. And because of this, I don't know if it was because of this, but I think it's interesting that, you know, Time's Up wants to help the gaming industry now. It kind of shows that, you know, that this movement isn't just about the film industry. You know, it started with the film industry, but now it's lending its hands to the under industries to help people out there. And I hope that it does some good and we can find a way to make sure that the environments that these people work in is safe for everybody. And yeah, Brad, what are your thoughts on all this?
It's good to see that the Night in the Woods, I guess, developer has taken these allegations very seriously and basically has put a pause or cut ties until they can get more info, which, you know, we've seen many developers not do that. They continue to work with the person even through the allegations. Keep them on payroll.
Yeah,
because of money obligations and the such. So it's nice to see, and it's refreshing to see, that they've actually, you know, they want to pause everything and focus on figuring out what exactly the hell is going on before they continue on with a relationship that could tarnish their image even more if they decided to go with that. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, it's good to see that they're taking up for these people that many times we just see get swept under the rug.
Yep. Yep, I agree, man. It's nice to see that this... Because, you know, this could have gone the other way. You know, they could have swept this under the rug, put out some fake-ass apology, and kept the guy on the payroll. It's usually how these things go. But it looks like the press release, it shows some very good, some detailed honesty, and I think that this is a good way to go about things. And, yes, I'm glad that, you know, Time's Up is starting to help over here with this, too.
Well, and it's funny that you actually, well, not funny, but it's interesting that you posted this article up, because I went looking today for like a Chris Hardwick post, because I'm like, I wonder what happened to Chris Hardwick after all that shit that fell on.
Isn't he still working?
That he caused, you know, and he's gone. Like, he just does not exist anymore.
Yeah. I thought he was working still.
Well, he's not on Twitter, I'll tell you that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's not on Twitter, but I think he's still working.
Which, you know, probably in the background, I'm sure. In some places.
He's
not a public figure anymore.
No, no. Oh, you don't stay a public figure after these things, man.
No. Wow.
Yeah. You know, there's no... it's not funny, but I was going to say it's interesting because Brett Ratner is still very much a public figure. And he's
Ratner's an asshole.
Yeah, Ratner is always retweeting everybody who's ever had allegations and cheering them on, like, you go, buddy. Good job, buddy. And stuff like, dude, please just stop being a fucking dumbass. Like, you're ruining yourself even more by doing this. Nobody's going to want to keep working with you. Rat Pack Entertainment is basically becoming nothing now. But yeah.
That's how that guy even put a movie out anyway. He's not very current.
Yeah, I know. Brett Ratner's been... The last movie I think they were even involved with was supposed to be Wonder Woman 1984, and then Gal Gadot did that thing where she said, "If you guys don't fire Brett Ratner, we cut ties, I'm walking." And
what was the movie they kicked him out of?
Huh?
What was the movie that they kicked him out of? This last movie.
Wonder Woman 1984. He was supposed to be helping.
No. Before that.
Was it? I think it was Wonder Woman.
Was it Wonder Woman? I thought it was another movie.
Crap, hold up. Rat Pack.
I'm trying to look it up myself, and I'm not really finding much info on it.
Entertainment, yeah. It's been a while since Rat Pack
is there. Rampage?
Oh, no. Rampage, yeah.
It wasn't Rampage, it was another one.
No.
Rampage. Because he was a part of the movie, and then that shit came up, and they were like, yeah, Ratner's gone, we're going to replace him with another. Mm-hmm. It was Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, no, you're thinking about Bryan Singer, bro.
Oh, my God, how many assholes are there?
There's a lot. No, you're thinking about...
There's a lot.
There's a lot, Brad. Yeah, you're thinking about Bryan Singer. Brett Ratner is somebody different. Brett Ratner's a... Yeah, Brett Ratner's a different person. He has a lot of abusal allegations, and he was the one who, when Gal Gadot found out about what he did... Gal Gadot told WB, "If you don't fire this guy and we don't stop working with him, I'm walking out of Wonder Woman 1984." And literally in the span of a day, they fired his ass.
Well, yeah, I mean, because without Gal Gadot, you don't have Wonder Woman.
Yeah, no, they were not about to lose this girl. Yeah. So I'm looking down the list here, man. He hasn't done anything since. Oh wait. Lego Movie. Well, these are all the ones that... Yeah, it's when he was working with Warner Bros. That's it, man. But he hasn't done anything as of late. The last thing he did was Rampage. That was the last thing he did with New Line and, Ready Player One and Rampage and 1517 to Paris. But that's it.
I thought Ready Player One was a Spielberg.
Yeah, that's...
He's some sort of, like, producer?
Yeah, it's kind of like what's it called, like a co-production, like a co-producer and stuff like that. Most of these seem to be co-productions. They're not actual like financed by Brett Ratner, but they all just seem to be co-productions, especially all the stuff that was done with Warner Brothers. So yeah, but other than that, Brett Ratner hasn't really made anything. But yeah, I mean, that's completely away from what we're talking about on here. So it's Oh, that's funny. Chuck Norris versus Communism, 2015. I didn't know that was something.
Watch that.
We need to watch that, yeah. Yeah, so look, you know, I'm glad that this shit's getting called out in the gaming industry, and I know that we've got a long way to go to make sure that these environments are safe. But if it was done in the film industry, it can be done in this industry. So
it's just going to take time, so
yeah,
this is a good start.
Well, and I think we also have to respect Zoe Quinn for bringing this to people's attention, because it's not the easiest thing.
Oh, it's not, man.
It's a terrifying thing. Mm-hmm. To come out and bring allegations towards, you know, some people who are very high end in the industry.
Yeah.
Because, mm-hmm. of course, you know, you have to expect blowback from that and mm-hmm. from people who, you know, take the other person's sides. So, very brave on her part.
Yeah. And that's
really sad. I just want to say, I think you two are two of the only people who actually believe her and stand with her. And I think that's really cool of y'all.
Yeah.
I've argued with so many people online about, oh, she's a fucking liar and all this other shit. I'm like, this poor woman, like, she's dealing with all this right now.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm kind of with the developers where, okay, just stop everything until you figure it out.
Yeah.
Like put the allegations and take them for what she says they are and check it out. I mean, it's kind of the same thing with the Johnny Depp allegations. You know, yeah, everybody pauses their shit on Johnny Depp and we figure this out if he's asshole. The same with Hardwick. The same with Ratner, with what the fuck was his name? Singer.
Yeah.
Singer,
the thing with Hardwick, though, is that shit was like not even in remember, because they brought him back. And
yeah,
then,
but, you know, he's not a public figure anymore.
Yeah.
Which kind of, you know, the thing with Hardwick is, though, he's married to basically, like, film royalty.
Yeah.
In that family. So he's almost untouchable in a way, but.
Yeah. So,
Is sad.
Yeah, which is sad. You know, so sometimes these investigations don't go the way they want, but at least with these developers, it seems like it's genuine. So they're going to take their time with it. Unlike, you know, with AMC, where it felt like it was just like oh, cool. So you said it really didn't happen, huh? I guess that's true. Okay. Let's bring back Brad. Let's bring back Brad. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how long did their
it's like 2 fucking months? It was like two or three months.
I mean, that ain't enough time for
the paperwork, you know, to get filed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
it's fucking
bullshit. Like, yeah, we believe them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, checks out.
Yeah, it checks out, man. Yeah, the paperwork ain't even ready on my desk yet, but it checks out. Yeah.
I mean, and was Hardwick really doing anything?
Just the Talking Dead.
Other than the Talking Dead?
Yeah, just the Talking Dead. But look, but yes, I agree with Brad. A lot of the strength and the, you know, the bravery to Zoe Quinn, and you know, this must be insanely hard for her because it's basically having to relive trauma because it's all getting brought up again. But I'm glad that the company is standing with her, and it really shows the maturity of the developers. So, with that being said, unless Ashley, you have anything else to say before we leave?
We covered it. I'm just interested in seeing how this, unfolds.
Unfolds, yeah. Yeah. I really hope Time's Up helps a lot in this industry. And because this is just one instance of the many that exist that don't get the spotlight as much as they should. So let's go ahead and just, we're done here, man. It's been a pretty good episode because we had Ashley pop up in the middle like the Gucci bat that she is. But
Gucci down to this.
Yeah.
Showed up at the best time. Y'all were shit-talking GameStop. I had to.
It was written in the stars, right?
JK.
It was written in the stars. All right. So if you did enjoy the episode, make sure you leave a rate and review on your podcast app of choice. Also follow the Nerdcore on on Twitter at Nerdcore_, Instagram at the Nerdcore, Facebook page the Nerdcore Pods, the Nerdverse, the Facebook official Nerdforce, the Nerdverse. Shut up. The Nerdverse, the official Nerdcore group over at Facebook. So go and join the Facebook group. Also, Patreon. Go check out the Patreon. Patreon.com/TheNerdCore. Check out the website, TheNerdCore.com. We got a lot of cool stuff. I'm finishing up my review of When They See Us. I'm trying my best to make the best possible review for you all, because I'm trying to analyze this series as best as I can. So I'm trying to give you all the review that you guys deserve to read. So it's taking me some time, but it's coming. And Brad, you got anything in the works for the site?
Right now I'm working on that unstructured episode I wasn't able to get to yesterday.
Yeah.
And then I want to write a review on bad CGI sharks. I don't know when I'll get to that, but that is my next written one that I plan on doing.
All right.
People need that. We need that.
Yeah, we need that, Brad.
Everyone needs that. Actually, bad CGI sharks.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you were on Blaze Nerdcore. What'd you guys talk about this week?
This week we talked about the wonderful Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Hell yeah.
Did you actually get it?
Dude, yeah, I did. I lucked out. I live in the LA area, so the one by my house had it a couple days early. It was so fucking good. What? I went back the next day, and then I thought about the damn sandwich for 4 days.
Okay, so compared to like a Chick-fil-A.
Oh my god, it's way better.
Okay. There is your review, guys. Although I think Ashley needs to write a review on it. For the site.
I have a timer on my phone, and it's the chicken timer.
Mm-hmm.
On when Popeyes opens.
I need to go to a Popeyes. I need to try the spicy chicken sandwich. To hell with the regular original ones. You know, I'm a fan of the spicy chicken.
Always get the spicy.
Yeah.
If you guys want to hear more about that sandwich and my experience, you can check out the latest episode of Ladies of Nerdcore.
Mm-hmm.
We've also made the conscious decision of going bi-weekly, so
you
will be getting us every other week now, but it's cool because I think the break is good for us. I've been really busy with work. Danielle has been busy with school. She's doing big shit.
Mm-hmm.
Week off. This episode just felt really, really fresh, and we had a lot of fun with it. So I think you guys are going to really like it. We talk about chicken sandwiches and memes.
Two of my favorite things.
Jinx. Pinch poke, you owe me a Coke, bro.
Fuck you, bro. Thank you. Fuck you, bro. All right, cool. And Brad and I, you can catch us on tomorrow, because it would be Saturday when you're listening. Well, you'd be Friday when you're listening to this. Catch us tomorrow. We're doing our first revisiting of a movie on the Nerdcore for the first time ever. You know, it was we did it in episode 2, and now 265 episodes later, I believe. Yes. So yeah, 265 episodes later, we're going to revisit it in anticipation for It Chapter 2 next week.
Well,
so,
and people gotta understand, this isn't a revisit for me, it's a revisit for you.
Yeah.
Because I was not co-host at the time.
Yeah.
When that came out, which nobody can believe, because I've been on 260-something fucking episodes.
Yeah. I want to say thank you to everybody who listened to the Cine Cougs movie show on the CougRadio.com/live. There was some technical difficulties, so you guys won't be able to listen to the Spotify version or Apple Podcast version. So officially next week will be the first episode of my new radio show over at my university radio station.
I caught the tail end, though.
Yeah, you did. Nobody else is going to be able to catch the tail end because the stupid SD card wasn't working.
I think you and Frank did great. I mean, if something happened to me, like I got hit by a truck or, you know, struck by lightning, I think Frank could handle, like, co-hosting, dude.
Yeah, Frank's just got too much hot takes. That's the thing.
Too much hot takes.
Yeah, but
hot takes.
Yeah,
hot
but
takes.
But actually, I'm doing a radio show now at my university, and you should listen to it. 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Central.
He's Standard growing time. Up so fast, Ashley.
Yeah. We at work listening to stuff at that time, so I totally can.
All right, 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. on Tuesdays. I'll talk to you guys about that later in the week again. But sorry, guys, if you guys were expecting to listen to it on the Apple Podcast or Spotify Coug Radio page, but SD card fucked up.
I like how he plugs his radio show, but he won't plug the podcast on the radio.
I plugged because I don't know what I'm allowed to plug, okay, you asshole?
How do you know you're allowed to plug it on this?
Oh, because this is
because it's your show.
Because this is my creation. I'll plug whatever I want. If I had a Pornhub page, I'd fucking promote my Pornhub page if I had to. But
no, nobody wants to see that role.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see your reviews of porn. Actually, that might be actually hilarious.
Whatever, Greg. I'm just just saying.
I did not like the angles or the lighting in the scene.
Why is it so grainy? You can just imagine. My complaints for those would be just, why is this so grainy? Why is there no color in this? Why is this just a close-up? Just do a wide shot of this.
Why is this so veiny?
Whatever, Brad. Look, it's my creation. I plug whatever I want. But you guys should probably listen to Unstructured when that comes out, because I don't know when that's going to come out. So, yeah, I think that's it. Impair Files will be coming back next week, because I'm switching over. Now, since Ashley will be moving to bi-weekly, I'm going to be moving the time slot to Thursdays to cover for the week that Ashley's Ladies of Nerdcore will not be on.
Did you actually tie down a next guest for this?
Of course I have.
Okay.
Working on it.
Working on it.
All right. Thank you to our executive producers, Grayson Barker 98 on Instagram, Warlord Hitman 98 on Twitter. Thank you, Grayson, for being the OG, executive producer. Our associate producer, Sarah, thank you for being an associate producer. It really does help the podcast. Brad, can you tell them what's about Shane?
You can follow our suppy guy, Shane, at twitch.tv/SWRWK or on Twitter at SWRWK Twitch. Go follow him right now. Listen to his podcast, The Passion Designer. We don't know why there aren't any new episodes. We'll get to that soon. Raul is going to stalk Shane for a while and ask him.
Patience, my young Padawan.
That's how Raul works.
Patience, my young Padawan. That's what you must have. So with that being said, Ashley, I'm glad you joined us again, because we love you, of course. And Brad, well, I tolerate you, but send him into the podcast world.
You know you love me. You fire me and bring me back.
Is it really firing if you show up on the next episode?
It really, I mean, it's become a running joke that I'm just fired perpetually.
Yeah.
And just keep coming back.
Brad, send him into the podcast void.
All right, Raul. Thank you for being host as always. Thank you, Ashley, for being a guest host for half this episode. Really appreciate you coming on. You know, like I said, it's hard carrying this weight alone. this fool Raul, however much he weighs. He can't weigh that much. He's only like 4'7".
170 something. Fuck you, bro. I'm 5. 5 feet tall, asshole.
So much.
You know what? I'm ending it right here.
I gotta give it out.